Welcome, investors, to the Absolute Return Podcast, your source for stock market analysis, global macro musings, and hedge fund investment strategies. Your hosts, Julian Klimochko and Michael Kesslering, aim to bring you the knowledge and analysis you need to become a more intelligent and wealthier investor. This episode is brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at AccelerateShares.com.
Welcome, folks, to the Absolute Return Podcast. I'm your host, Julian Klimochko. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike Kesslering. And on today's podcast, we welcome special guest Louis Sommet, CEO and co-founder of LiveVox, a leading cloud-based provider of customer service and digital engagement tools. LiveVox recently announced a merger with SPAC Crescent Acquisition in an $840 million deal. On today's podcast, Louis discusses what it's like to be owned by a private equity and the transition to a public company, the future of work from home, LiveVox's unit economics and future growth plans, key insights into the SPAC merger process, and more. So with no further ado, here's our discussion with LiveVox CEO Louis Sommet. Welcome, Louis, to the Absolute Return Podcast. Real pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm sure you're super busy with everything you got going on at LiveVox. But nonetheless, thank you for your time today. Let's get into it. I wanted to start things off by giving our listeners a bit of background on yourself, how LiveVox came to fruition and its progression over the past 16 years, so basically from its starting to now it is going to become a public company very shortly. Now, you're a veteran of the technology industry, over 25 years of experience. Started out your career as a systems engineer at EDS, then co-founding LiveVox about 16 years ago. So you've been in the game a while. Can you walk us through your career and then the growth and evolution of LiveVox? Because obviously that business has changed pretty dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show, by the way. So look, I've always been intrigued by how technology could enhance communications, make it more efficient and frankly better, you know, systematically. And I had the opportunity to do that at a couple of different spots at Merck Medco and at Physicians Online. And then when the opportunity presented itself for us to start up LiveVox, that was kind of a natural area of interest. And so that's what we did, is we started LiveVox back in 2000. So you said 16 years, but it's actually been 20 years. And we started it, you know, to really develop, communication services, technology-enabled communication services. And so, of course, that really just led us into the contact center. And we've been, doing that for 20 years now. I would say the first 10 years were exciting. And we accomplished a lot, but we did the bulk of that work, bulk of that software development on a private cloud model. And then starting in 2010 and really kind of culminating in about 2014, we switched our development models over to public cloud development models. And I can tell you that that's been transformative, because the public cloud development models are at least 500% more productive. And so it really opened the door for us to just take the software to the next level.
And a big milestone that happened at LiveVox a number of years ago, call it 6-7 years ago, was a big investment from private equity firm Golden Gate Capital. I was wondering, how is it being owned by a private equity company? And how do you expect that to change? Like, what changed when they invested? And what do you expect now that you're going to become a publicly traded entity?
Yeah, so look, Golden Gate was really our first institutional money to come into the business. We'd been largely bootstrapped up until that point, and they really had great timing, because, again, they came in just at the time that we were really capable of really accelerating our R&D. And with their partnership, we were able to really expand our product offering. Historically, we were focused on outbound and inbound voice, but as we partnered with Golden Gate, we were able to really expand our R&D, and we layered on a lot of new capabilities around digital, around contact center CRM, and around workforce optimization, cloud-native workforce optimization. So that was really a big focus for us. And I would say that the last 5 years, last 6 years with Golden Gate have been a heavy R&D phase. where we've really broadened our product portfolio. And then that's just an exciting spot to be, because with the market kind of going where it's going now, it's really an incredible opportunity to have just come out of a phase where we've really built up what we believe is the next generation platform, like the platform that really is poised to help the contact center market go to new levels of efficiency and new levels of customer service.
I wanted to dig into some of the details of your expanded product offering. Spent the last number of years, heavy investment into research and development, and you indicated that the market has really changed and gone in a new direction. Could you describe how LiveVox's product suite has evolved over the past, say, call it decade?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I think that a lot of people are familiar with the term CCaaS, contact center as a service. And in general, what CCaaS is its voice and its digital channels with some AI capabilities in there. And so, that's something that we really moved to aggressively, again, once we were on the public cloud models, and we layered on on top of what had historically been outbound and inbound voice, that full suite of digital capabilities. But then we didn't stop there. We didn't stop at just the omnichannel. We saw the potential to really go deeper and broader. And so we added on a contact center CRM, which is unusual. There aren't very many contact center providers out there that bring a native CRM with the channels. And then we also layered on those cloud native workforce optimization tools. And those two pieces, which really kind of go beyond what you would expect in CCaaS, and really what we think of as CCaaS 2.0. So whereas CCaaS 1.0 was omnichannel, to us, CCaaS 2.0 is omnichannel plus a contact center CRM and plus a cloud native workforce optimization suite. And the reason all those pieces are so important is because everything that is in there, right, all three of those pieces are what a contact center needs to take advantage of the technology and to really enhance their communication, right? So historically, contact centers have bought those three pieces from different vendors. But by being able to buy them from one vendor, you just can get a better ROI, right? Because you can simply get more things pre-integrated, so you spend less money, less dollars on implementation, over a 90% reduction in time to implement. And equally important, you can start optimizing right away. Again, a 90% reduction in time to optimize too. And with those tools there, you can simply drive a better ROI model, because you're deploying faster, you're optimizing quicker. And so that's a transformative moment. And so we're very excited to bring CCaaS 2.0 to the market. And it's a different kind of technology than the contact centers had access to. And again, that's our vision is really leverage that to take the potential here to the next level.
And now a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest growing alternative investment solution providers, with a suite of institutional caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund, symbol ARB on the TSX, is the world's first SPAC-focused ETF with a diversified portfolio of SPAC and merger arbitrage opportunities in an easy-to-use, low-cost ETF. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund ETF trades under the symbol ARB on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
So shifting a little bit to the macro, LiveVox's business was negatively impacted by COVID in 2020, like many companies. Well, you also do have some of the work from home solutions, such as Zoom, had an actual tailwind from the whole shift to working from home. Can you explain some of the dynamic with your business model and how you were able to mitigate some of this impact from COVID?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, a lot of our our peers, they went to market by starting in the enterprise SMB sector and then moving into the middle market and then into larger enterprises. LiveVox's path into larger enterprises didn't start with the SMB. We started off selling collection agencies, and that's kind of been our foundational market to, you know, our get started market. Now, the collection agencies are a fantastic market to service because they really push you on compliance, they push you on security, and they push you on scalability. So they really helped us embed those capabilities inside of our DNA. And that's really helped us expand with BPOs and expand with larger and middle market enterprises because of our capabilities around compliance, around security, and because of this fundamental scalability of our platform. However, the collection agencies, they did take a hit during COVID in a different way than a lot of other enterprises. And so they had a bit of a, I would say, a COVID headwind. Now, our other sectors, our enterprise and our BPO sectors, they had a COVID tailwind, like the market in general. So I think we were a bit of a kind of a headwind tailwind scenario. Now, going into 2021, though, with the economy recovering, the collections workflows are recovering as well. And so now we really are just looking at tailwinds. And so this, again, this is kind of coinciding with a big increase in our investment in sales and marketing, again, because we've got the maturity in the product, we've got tailwinds, and the market has just moved heavily towards cloud-based solutions.
So would you say, you know, once the pandemic is over, would it have any lasting effect, or did it create like a natural tailwind coming out of it for your business over the longer term?
Yeah, it absolutely has a lasting effect because I think people were looking at contact center technology and saying, well, maybe I'll go prem or maybe I'll go cloud. And when I say prem, I mean premise-based systems, you know, like, so yeah. Maybe I'll use a premise-based contact center technology or maybe I'll use a cloud-based contact center technology. And I think what people saw in the pandemic is that those who had more cloud technology simply were more flexible and able to respond to the changing requirements. And I don't think it's a question now anymore of if. I think now it's just a question of when. And so I think coming out of the pandemic, everybody knows that they're going to move to the cloud. And it's really just a question of when.
You know, that certainly makes sense. And with the whole pandemic ending, I mean, one thing that isn't ending is the whole, you know, work from home or flexible working options for employees, and some companies are actually going, you know, completely remote. You know, from putting your CEO hat on and management hat on, how do you think about that? Especially, you know, being based out of San Francisco for a long time, that was known as, you know, if you're a technology company, you gotta be based out of there. But now, with more and more workers going remote, how do you think about work from home from, you know, the LiveVox management perspective, and certainly where you're based, where office prices certainly aren't cheap?
Yeah. Look, I think work from home is a great thing because ultimately the success of your business comes from the people that you have, and attracting talented individuals to join your organization is competitive. And so giving them the flexibility to live and work where they want that's probably just going to become a requirement, honestly. And so we've always had a pretty flexible approach. Now, I think when we think about work from home, we think more in terms of maybe a hybrid model where, look, you can work from home, but we ask you to come into the offices sometimes so there can be some in-person collaboration. But we're happy to have employees that are predominantly work from home. And of course, our industry, the contact center industry, is really, I mean, it's really going to benefit from the increased utilization of work from home labor, because by allowing agents to move into low cost areas, they can, you can get a higher quality contact center agent. And it's really a pretty good deal for both parties, right? The employer gets a more talented individual and the contact center agent, they get to move to a lower cost of living area. So I'm pretty excited about its potential, and LiveVox is really well, and our clients are really well positioned to take advantage from it.
So on the financial side, you have quite compelling unit economics with a 8.5x lifetime value of a customer to your customer acquisition cost. So would you be able to describe some of the in kind of a little bit of granularity on how you're able to achieve this level of unit economics?
Yeah, look, we've always sold larger organizations, as I mentioned earlier. And a important way that we get inside of large organizations is we do what it would be, I would characterize more as a departmental level sale. And so rather than trying to win the full enterprise in a giant RFP, we really more try to get in the door with a department and solve an immediate need there. And with that model, it's, you know, successful departmental model, within we follow, because we have such a broad product portfolio and we have so many exciting ways to improve their ROI, we just have a great shape then to upsell and to show them how easy it is to deploy. One number I'll give you is we have less than 1% of our revenue is professional services. Now, if you think about that, that just shows you how easy it is to deploy our platform, how much the CCaaS 2.0 suite makes that deployment and optimization steps easier and simpler, because we're able to do it with much less professional services. And that's an important part of how we're really helping the contact centers to make this technology easier to adopt.
And now a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest growing alternative investment solution providers. With a suite of institutional caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance, the Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF, symbol 1C, ONEC on the TSX, is Canada's first alternatives portfolio solution, providing exposure to 6 alternative asset classes, 10 alternative strategies, in one easy-to-use, one-choice ETF that charges a management fee of just 0.2%. The Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF trades under the symbol 1C, ONEC, on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
So along with that, in terms of, you know, as you had mentioned, making it easier to adopt, you do have a 118% net retention rate that you mentioned in your investor presentation. Can you describe how you're able to effectively have a negative churn, which would be through cross-selling, I'm assuming?
Well, so once we get in the door, once we do that departmental land and we're inside of a department, inside of a large organization, we kind of, we focus on really impressing that group, that department, right? So we show them how easy it is to adopt and how they can drive their ROI, a 90% better ROI by using a platform. And then once we've done that with a department, then other departments see that. And with those other departments seeing that, then we can expand in other departments. Now, if you think about that selling motion, that simply has shorter sales cycles. And it also has a lot of potential to keep selling existing customers more and more. And so that's a big part of how we've been able to drive our net retention of 115%, because we're always in there building this relationship and we're always showing them new ways of evolving their business. And so and since we're inside of large organizations, there's just a lot of room to do this. In fact, the potential is so big, we today have tapped only about 10% of the agents that are inside of our existing customers. So not even talking about the market opportunity, our existing customers have over 500,000 agents in them. We have about 50,000 of them on our platform. And so there's amazing opportunity to just keep selling our existing customers for a very long period of time.
interesting notion of 118% net retention rate. There's a couple other figures that stood out to me from your investor presentation. Number one, forecasted revenue growth at a 26% compound annual growth rate. In addition, expanding margins, gross margin from 65% to 67%, I believe, over the next couple of years. How do you plan on accomplishing these two feats in terms of both expanding margins while driving revenue growth?
Yeah, well, you know, given the way that our newer products are growing, like if you look at the CRM and the analytics products and the digital products that we've layered on over the last 5 years, those are by far the fastest growing part of our business. And, you know, with the market really switching now to kind of a cloud first mentality, there's just a tremendous opportunity for us to take our mature CCaaS 2.0 products to the market that really is seeking to move to the cloud now. And so the best way for us to do that, of course, is to really accelerate our sales and marketing investment. And over the next 2 years, we will more than double our gross dollar investment in sales and marketing and more than double the number of AEs. And so that's where the growth is going to come from. It's simply a larger investment in sales and marketing with a mature product suite and a market that's just tipping to the cloud. To the margin questions, a lot of these newer products that we're rolling out and that we're adding have a higher gross margin than our historical voice products, which have a great gross margin, but not quite as good as the digital piece. So as we have more of our revenue come from the digital products, the margin does improve.
One key insight that I was keen on hearing about, Louis, is your recently announced merger with SPAC Crescent Acquisition, valued Livebox at $840 million. So a very large milestone for the company, going public transaction. What are your thoughts on it, and how did this deal come about?
Well, you know, it really came about, again, because we just saw how the market opportunity was shaping up. In the back half of 2020, we could just see our newer products really selling and the market really moving to the cloud. And we just said, look, now is the time to increase our investment in sales and marketing. And so then it was a question of, okay, well, what's the best way to do that? And in collaboration with Golden Gate, we decided that as a publicly traded company, we'd be better positioned to invest in sales and marketing. And so then that became an option that we pursued. And so we talked to some potential partners, and we evaluated some different scenarios, and we were fortunate to find Crescent, really a great group of people with a lot of experience and a lot of expertise that could just get us into the market with a lot of resources and help us transition from that R&D phase as a company into what we now are investing in, which is our go-to-market phase.
Right. And with respect to Golden Gate's involvement, it appears that they're rolling their equity as part of this transaction. However, investors cognizant to that, they have been involved for about 7 years, which is the typical private equity life cycle. Have they communicated, you know, what they're looking to do over the next kind of near term? Are they looking to exit? Do they have permission from investors to stay in Livebox longer? Do you have any thoughts on that specifically?
Yeah, Golden Gate is an evergreen fund, so they really have, I would say, longer horizons
right
than a lot of investors do, and after the SPAC, they're going to have about 60% of the equity, and so they're going to be major holders, and again, they're long term investors. They've been great partners, and I'm excited to be working with them, and I look forward to working with them as we go forward.
You mentioned the SPAC Crescent acquisition. How did that come about? Was this a competitive process? Did you utilize advisors and speak to a number of different SPACs and management teams out there?
Absolutely. So we evaluated a number of options, and we enlisted a number of advisors, and, you know, Crescent just was a great fit. I mean, they're, again, a very experienced group of individuals with a lot of expertise that they can bring to bear. And so, you know, we're able to partner with them and excited to do so.
I'm sure the $25 million Ford purchase agreement helped smooth talks, because that is definitely one appealing thing about certain SPACs, is just having that additional capital to back the pro forma entity. But fast forward, you're expecting closing in the next kind of couple of months or so. But once this merger closes, you're up in trading as a newly minted public company, symbol LVOX. At that point, say an investor wants to hear your story, what would be the quick elevator pitch for the stock? Why should they pay attention to LVOX once this deal is complete?
Well, it starts with the market. The market is, it's an amazing market. I mean, it's $5 billion cloud now, and that's you know, it's 20% of the overall technology spend right now is cloud. So you're looking at 5 going to 25 right there, just as it moves from cloud, from prem to cloud. But on top of it, McKinsey is predicting that an additional $50 billion over the next 10 years of technology spend is going to come from converting labor into technology. I mean, the overall contact center market today from a total spend perspective is $250 billion. And right now, only approximately 10% of that is spent on technology. Again, McKinsey is predicting that 30% of the contact center spend is going to go towards technology by 2030. And so that's an enormous greenfield opportunity. And LiveVox has built out a next generation platform. And the CCaaS 2.0 platform just gives contact centers a better ROI. And with that, the vision is just real, right? You can convert the labor, the manual steps into technology and deliver a better experience for consumers with greater efficiency. And so LiveVox's product is ready to go for a market that has unbelievable potential. And with our public company profile, we're going to have more than $100 million on our balance sheet, and we will be more than doubling our investment in sales and marketing to realize this opportunity and to take advantage of the product and also take advantage of our proven ability to sell large organizations and deliver our services at scale.
Right. And so that's a great story you guys have at LiveVox with respect to CCaaS 2.0, migration to cloud, forecasting strong revenue growth, and the business combination is at valuation of roughly 5.2 times next year's sales. Seems reasonable. So, Louis, prior to us letting you go, if investors, you know, want to learn more about LiveVox, where can they do their research?
Well, they can go to the LiveVox website, and they can go to the Crescent website, and they can also look at our proxy, which we filed with the SEC. So those are three good sources.
Okay, perfect. Well, I encourage interested investors to do your due diligence, read the respective documents. And Louis, I wanted to thank you for your time today. Great getting some key insights into LiveVox, your history, and the future of the business. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We wish you all the best. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Absolute Return Podcast. This episode was brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com. The views expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the participants and do not reflect the views of Accelerate. No aspect of this podcast constitutes investment, legal, or tax advice. Opinions expressed in this podcast should not be viewed as a recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or investment strategies. The information and opinions in this podcast are based on current market conditions and may fluctuate and change in the future. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made on behalf of Accelerate as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Accelerate does not accept any liability for any direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage suffered by any person as a result of relying on all or any part of this podcast, and any liability is expressly disclaimed.